Welcome, everyone, to the Comedy Sports Podcast, starring your host, Christine Rolo Capriolo. And today, we've got a special lineup of one man who knows everything, Mark the Biscuit Redlick!
Hey, everybody, here we are at another edition of the Comedy Sports Podcast. I'm Christine Rolo Capriolo. Today, I have a very exciting guest star with me. This is awesome news. I have Mark Redlick, the scientist, the teacher, the researcher, the comedian, Mark the Biscuit Redlick. How you doing, Mark?
I'm good. Thanks for having me.
Thanks for being here. I want to start with your nickname because I don't know the origin story of the biscuit.
I always tell people it's a very underwhelming story, and I think it's true.
Oh.
When I started doing comedy sports in the high school leagues, my first nickname was actually Copacabana.
Copacabana.
I always liked that song. Okay. Not a Barry Manilow fan, but I like that song. That's a fun song. And we played it in jazz band, and we were playing it at the time, so I was just, like, seized on that one. So that was my nickname for a while. And the biscuit thing, like all good nicknames, you can't generate your own.
Right, not
it
at
has
all.
To be given to
yeah,
you.
Yeah, absolutely.
So a couple of things happened around the biscuit. One was that playing pool one day with some friends, and there was a very easy shot for a friend to make to beat me, and I decided that the best distraction technique I could do is to bob up and down in front of the pocket, saying the first word that popped in my head, which happened to be biscuit. So I was sitting there bobbing in front of a pool table, just going biscuit, 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 and he missed the shot. So when you're in high school, those tiny little things live on in infamy and
yes,
become much bigger than they actually are. And then all of a sudden, like we were doing comedy sports shows in our high school, and the person who was doing our Mr. Voice for that show just called me the biscuit that day. And
it stuck.
That's it. That's all.
Is it your like, license plate as well?
Well, one skid is my license plate because okay. I couldn't get the first I. So
okay.
It can't be biscuit. It's one skit.
One skit. So now where are you from? You're from Milwaukee?
I am from Brown Deer.
Okay, suburb of Milwaukee.
Yeah, just outside of Milwaukee. But I haven't escaped the gravity of the city. Okay. So when I went to college, I went to Marquette in Milwaukee.
Okay.
When I went to grad school, I went to UW-Milwaukee.
Okay.
And then I got a job in Milwaukee and moved to Milwaukee. And yeah,
you've always been a Milwaukee guy.
Yeah, I find it difficult to escape.
Okay, when you were a kid living in Brown Deer and mm-hmm. then eventually Milwaukee, what did you want to be when you grew up?
I had no idea.
No idea.
No, the earliest recollection of a career was that I wanted to be a doctor when I was like in first, second grade.
Because
you only know like five jobs at
sure.
that age.
Yeah,
it's like policeman, fireman, doctor. Teacher and homemaker.
Homemaker.
I think those are the five.
Okay.
I think that's actually the top five.
Okay.
I read it somewhere.
And then you majored in what in college?
I majored in chemistry.
Okay, yeah, because you did some like scientist research.
I liked chemistry in high school. So high school is a great place to be a nerd.
Okay.
And I think everybody is a nerd in high school, and you just get obsessed about certain things. And
yeah.
One of those things was chemistry. Another one of those things happened to be comedy sports. Surprise, surprise. I was already into comedy sports pre-high school.
Well, so tell me, how did that happen? How did you know about comedy sports?
Pure chance.
Okay.
So it was summer, and so suddenly I became like a little, you know, 18-year-old girl there for a minute. It was summer, and I was sitting around the house.
Oh, my God.
Oh, my God. And so I was flipping through all the cable channels, and I get to this thing where on one of the B cable channels, back in the day, you had your A channels and your B
yeah.
channels on cable. So I was flipping through the B channels and hit on a public access channel that had my sixth grade teacher, one of his movies. And immediately after was this little excerpt of four people from Comedy Sports doing like some improv games.
Really?
Yeah. So it was Dick, it was Bo Johnson, it was Marvin Berkowitz, and it was a lady named Judy.
Oh, and, Judy. Judy Berkowitz.
It was not her. It was
no.
a different Judy.
Okay.
Because she looked completely different. And I never saw her play a show. I had only seen her.
Saw her on the cable.
So I don't know what the story was around that day. But those were the four. And they were doing, like, I think they did Dr. Know-It-All and Freeze.
Okay.
And that was that excerpt. And then later on, they showed a second excerpt that had, like, What Are You Doing? An Arms Expert on it. And I just, like, my mind locked on this thing. Like, what is this thing? It's so weird and funny and cool. And the idea that it had been improvised was a little lost on me.
Sure. Well, if this, you were, what, 11? This was probably, like, 86, 85, 86, 87?
Yeah. It was summer of 85, I want to say.
Okay.
Yeah, that's right. So... summer of 85, and it was a little lost on me because it was a public access thing, and there was like, it wasn't in front of an audience, it was just like them in the studio.
Okay.
And somebody off camera who was just providing the very few suggestions that they took. But my mind just seized on the energy and the activity, and it was fun and it was creative and it was funny. The funny thing was something that I was going to latch onto.
Were you a funny kid?
No.
No.
I mean, yeah, but no.
Did people think you were funny? Were
I like... thought I was funny.
Okay.
And so that's why I say no now, because I know when you're 11 and you think you're funny, you're not that funny. No.
Yeah.
No. You're kind of annoying.
But you had that personality, that outgoing personality to be funny and goofy.
Yeah. I mean, you and your friends, you're always trying to make each other laugh, right?
Sure.
So that's just part of the fabric of growing up. You think you're funny to a certain extent.
So when you got to Brown Deer High School then, they had a Comedy Sports High School League?
No. Well, they had the Comedy Sports High School League then. So what happened is this little loop that I was watching on B Cable, it was a loop. It was like a 2-hour loop or a 90-minute loop that just replayed over and over. And they were replaying this loop for like months and months. So beyond the summer, like, and I would just keep watching it. Like
the same
excerpt
okay.
over and over, to the point where, you know, after, you know, a few days of watching it, I obviously had it memorized.
Yeah.
And now it's like my friends would come over and it's like, oh, you gotta get, just hang here for 20 minutes. I know this, you don't care about the two guitarists. That's okay. You know, and the cat animation, you don't have to watch that, but just wait just a little longer. 'Cause you gotta see this thing. And so I get a few friends into it. And so, you know, we got to the point, like I said, we had it kind of memorized, and then we saw that Comedy Sports, Theater Sports, it was still then, Theater Sports was at Summerfest.
Okay.
And so it was,
and
like,
you saw that.
Okay, so we went there, and we started, you know, after the show, we were just standing on the stage and, like, trying to get their attention and acting out this recreation of this cable excerpt that they did, and it's just, they had to be sitting there going, like, what? What is going on?
Children?
And I think Dick put it together like, oh my God, this is the thing that we did on cable like last year or whenever recorded it. And so, yeah. And so I became that kid, that fan kid you know, would show up occasionally and just like want to interact with the players really badly. And, you know, so I'm telling, you know, like Brian Greene, here's what you should say and What Are You Doing?
Oh my God, I'm sure he took that really well.
Stupid stuff like that. And to Brian, to his credit, did a couple of them one time.
No, he did.
Like, and it was obviously just like, okay, I'm acknowledging you. All right.
Yeah.
I did the thing that you asked. Now let me go and be cool now. Okay.
Oh my God.
It's kind of... So
you went to see them at Cults.
I went to see them at Cults. I went to see them at like, what is it called? The a la carte at the zoo, wherever I could see them. You know, we couldn't afford to go to shows that often. So anywhere it was free, it was obviously, you know, it's like, mom, they're gonna be over here. Let's just go.
And what did your parents think of this weird little obsession?
My mom was happy to indulge me. My mom was always really good about indulging my creative side. I think because it got me out of the house.
Okay. So then once you got to high school?
Once I got to, well, I knew that eventually the B cable loop stopped and they put on a different thing. And there was a Comedy Sports High School League, like all-star show or something like that, that was up there. And so I saw like Sean Henry and Sean McKenna for the first time. And I think Dylan was on it, but his name was never announced if he was, but I swear to God, there was somebody who looked a lot like Dylan Bolin on there too. So I think he was on there, but it was my first time seeing like those guys, you know? So then it's like, oh, you can do this in high school.
Okay.
I had to wait a whole year and a half
to
get into high school. And then I had no idea how to do it, so I was, like, calling down there. And then when I called down there, it was already too late to get a team that first year, so there was no team my freshman year, and I had to suffer. But fortunately, I met this guy in my English class named Dan Harmon, and he and I kind of hit it off, and I was like, oh, Dan was Dan. I don't know how else to describe him. He's always been that personality, but you know, he was new to the school too. So he had transferred in from a Milwaukee school, and so he was kind of new to everybody and didn't have a lot of friends. But it was just like it recognized right away as like this guy is really funny, and really comfortable being funny. He has none of that kind of that wall that keeps people from kind of presenting who they are.
Yeah.
You know, Dan always presented who he was.
I remember going to see the Alewives, the Dead Alewives, when he was in it. And I remember he did this Boy Blue character. Do you remember that? He took this like foam thing and put it around his chin and up to the top of his head and tied it. Do you remember that character? Yeah. And I just remember, and he did some foam thing. I have a VHS tape somewhere of an Alewives show, but yeah.
We all do.
We all do. And I have a Fuchao thing. Do you remember those?
No.
The giveaway.
That I don't remember.
I did a suggestion and the giveaway, they all sang. Remember, they'd sing before every game?
Sure.
And the giveaway was Fuchao, la la la, Fuchao. And it was like
a
doll head on top of a spring with a switch. Yeah. And you turn the switch and the doll head went on. I have it somewhere.
Yeah. Now I remember. I didn't remember it by name, but
Oh my God. That was, So, okay. So are you and Dan Harmon still buds?
We don't really talk much. Dan's busy
and he was
I'm
doing
busy
Rick and Morty
and we just, I saw him, the last time I saw him was at our, what was the last reunion we actually had? That was 2011. That was the last time I remember seeing Dan in person. So, but you know, he's busy, I'm busy, and I'm not good at keeping in touch with people either. So,
well, that's all right. Like, life happens.
Yeah.
So you guys, did you start the team together then?
So, well, I wanted to start a team and I wanted him to be on it for sure. So it was like, how do I get him interested in it? It didn't take much.
Okay. You know,
Dan obviously saw it as a forum and a way to express and be creative and kind of, you know, write, you know, as it were, is a way to test ideas.
Sure.
And so I'm sure that's in part his attraction to it, but he was just, you know, he's just a naturally funny person and he is really good at improv and always was.
Yeah.
And just quick and picks up on things, finds a hook, finds a something to turn and make creative or funny or interesting. And his brain is like, it's amazing brain that he has for that.
So now when you guys started going down there, how were they running it then? Was it one person running it for high school league or did you have your own coaches or how did
no,
it go
it was,
that year?
It was one person running it. In the first year that we had it, it wasn't a whole lot of coaching really. So it was like we came, we did a general workshop and then it was like, okay, here you go.
Yeah.
you know everything you need to know. So that first year we're kind of like, I have no idea what's going on, you know, and we're like, doing what we think the game should be, but we're not really, you know, nobody's really teaching us scene work or, you know, anything. We just know how the games work.
Okay.
It wasn't until senior year, really, that we had Kurt Scholler kind of run the high school leagues. And he kind of, like, came in and actually coached. And he was just like, okay, we're going to do a few things. We're going to work on some, you know, basic scene work and stuff. Because, you know, you guys obviously know how to be funny.
Yeah.
Let's just refine it. And
so that was must have been 91, 92?
So that would have been 1990.
90?
Yeah.
Okay.
1991 was that.
1991.
Academic year. Academic year.
Okay. Because I remember going, starting at Cults 91, 92 or 90, 91. I can't remember. 91, 92. And Kurt was doing it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So Kurt ran it for, I think, 3 or 4 years.
Right.
And I think that last year he kind of had a couple of people helping out too. And
well, then you started helping. Well, did you make the transition from high school league to playing pros? How did that happen?
Slowly. I just never stopped. I took a little break my first semester of college just to get that transition under my belt and make sure. I knew Dan was still doing workshops after high school, and I knew I was going to get back into it. So it was like around December that I was like, okay, I know I can handle doing that and afford to. And then I just started doing the workshops with Bo Johnson and eventually John Polesnik too, and got in both of their workshops. And they were both kind of like different styles, but I kept being that kid. I never stopped being that kid who would just show up. And so, like, some people would start to recognize me. Some knew me from the high school leagues. Some people knew me from just being there, you know. And, like, over the summer, we were showing up for, like, Anything Can Happen night on a Wednesday or something like that. That's another story. So we would just show up, you know, and be around. And so Dan was there pretty frequently. And Dan, you can imagine, you know, obviously got attention quickly.
Quickly, yes.
I was doing workshops and, you know, doing the workshop shows and whatnot. And then when we moved to the new space in, what was it, July of 92 when we officially opened.
Mm-hmm. And Jefferson.
Out there, it was like, oh, we need some people, you know, to staff the place.
Yeah.
And we're going to do this Ballet Parker thing. So it was like Jake Orvis was the first Ballet Parker, and then me, I think.
Yeah.
I think
I knew that. Yeah.
So it's like now I'm in the lot being, you know, the Ballet Parker. So now everybody's really kind of annoying me. And
sure.
I'm being annoying out there, but I also get to hang out every weekend and see all the shows and just like absorb that environment. And eventually it was just like, you know, people knew that I could run the keyboards because we do it in the high school leagues already. So it's like, oh, yeah, we need somebody to do keyboards at this show. You know, Mark can do it. You know, let's get him in there. So it's like I made myself, I had utility through all these roles. And in part because I had these, you know, this utility for all these different things, it was like, I never got to play because it was we always needed somebody for something else. And so eventually, people would start advocating. Like, I know Kurt was advocating. Peter Alberts would advocate for me. Bob Orvis would advocate for me. And they're just like, Mark, you should be on stage. Let's get him in some shows.
Yeah.
You know, so there are lots of people, I think, who started playing actual shows on a regular basis before I did because I was always in the booth.
You were doing something else.
I was ballet parking. Or I was, you know, I just made myself available to do those things because I wanted to keep the wheels on the bus. You know, it was something that I loved.
Well, so by the time you actually, do you remember your first show? By the time you did it, you already knew everybody. You knew.
Yeah. I don't remember the first show in any major way. I remember like my first high school league show because that was a big experience.
Right.
I remember some key shows. I remember like my first Summerfest show and stuff. But my first pro show, I don't really remember.
Well, maybe because you were down there so much already.
Yeah, it's just like I don't remember my first show, you know, being in the booth or anything like that. It's some of those things just they probably weren't memorable because nothing really great happened.
Oh. What do you think is your strength as a comedy sports performer?
Activity.
Activity. Explain that.
I think I'm pretty active on stage.
Yeah, for sure.
And sometimes that activity is in a very understated way. So especially as I'm getting older, it's like, no, you can't behave like your body is old thing. Now.
This aging sucks.
Things hurt after a while if you do them. But no, it's just like I think bringing energy through activity is always kind of my thing. So I love games like Forward Reverse. I love games like Cut and Paste, ones that, you know, aren't just standing and coming up with something funny, because that is probably my weakest point. It's like, I do not feel like I'm a verbally funny person. I feel more like I'm that guy who just looks weird. You know? So that's where I kind of play today.
I never Mark Rudlick as that guy who looks weird.
Thank you. That's why I'm on your show, because you are nice to me.
I think you're fantastic. You do, as you said, that your activity. As soon as you said it, I just see visions of you jumping around like insane. You do, which is funny, because as a person, you're very chill. You're real relaxed. You're like, hey, you know, but on stage, you just like suddenly are just jumping everywhere.
Yeah. I still like to dive through the back window.
Oh my God. I'd kill myself if I tried that now.
Yeah. Well, yeah.
Break a hip or something.
But it's so worth it. It is so worth it. Especially if you have to dive back through in reverse.
I love Forward Reverse. That's my favorite game. Yeah. Is that your favorite, you said?
I think it's still my favorite.
It's like the first scene game you learn, but I love it. Now, somewhere along the way, you then got into reffing the shows.
Yeah. You had to in high school leagues back in the day, because there was nobody to do it. You wanted to build up some interest at your school. You had to do a show there.
Right.
It's like pro is not going to come down and do a high school league show for free. And
even
a workshopper probably isn't going to do a high school league show for free. So I think it was Sean Henry running it at the time. And he's just like, you guys, you know enough.
Yeah.
You can ref a show.
Okay.
Just one of you guys ref it. So like we did an invite, as it were, at our school. We brought like two other teams in, just said, you know, it's going to be a home field advantage for us. Just, you know, but we appreciate you guys being there, and if they hate you, we still love you. So please come and do a show at our school, so our school can come and see the regular shows that we're doing on Sundays at the high school leagues. So we got a couple of teams down there, and it's like I reffed one and Dan reffed one.
Okay.
And we just started doing it that way.
Did you then regularly ref when you started doing pro shows, or did that come after a while?
That came a little after. You know, again, people had to realize that, you know, I had to have somebody advocate for me, because in part, I just never advocate for myself.
Well, I bring it up because you have a very unique ref style, I think. How do you see yourself as a ref? What do you think?
I see myself as trying to be Angelo every time Angelo I'm reffing. Farina. Every time I'm reffing.
How is that? Explain.
Like, Angelo was in command. He was, you know, and he was very relaxed at one point, you know, but when he raised his energy just a little bit, it was just like you felt that. He didn't have to do much, you know, but he was just, he had everything down pat. Everything just flowed very smoothly when he reffed. And so it was just like, yeah, that's what I want, you know. It never got in the way of anything. You always knew how funny Angelo was when he reffed. It wasn't like that wasn't there. It wasn't like he was mechanical or just facilitating the scenes. He was always imprinting his humor as he went. But it was this seamless thing. I don't know. To me, it's the gold standard for reffing.
Yeah, so he's your inspiration for reffing.
I'm always trying to be him. I'm always failing at trying to be him, but I'm trying to be him. And I'm not saying that to be self-deprecating. It's just like I know when I watch myself, and if I was to watch him afterwards, it's like we're not even close.
Well,
we're
you're very by the book. Same. You definitely follow the rules of a game when you play in a show. And when you're explaining it and you call it, it's very tight, you know. Yeah. I think you keep a tight show. That's a compliment. You keep a tight show, you know, and you're clearly comfortable reffing. I mean, I think it's just, it fits. I think you do a great show.
Yeah. Thank you.
Sure.
Thank
you. So 20, 30 years in now, Mark.
Yeah.
you are still doing comedy sports. Granted, now, you know, you're married, you have kids, you have a family, you have a new job, midlife crisis, got a new job.
It's not midlife crisis. It's just getting fired.
Oh, okay. Well, you suddenly became a teacher in your 40s.
Yes.
And so you probably don't find yourself down at comedy sports that much. You're a musician.
In yes.
You're in a band.
I'm just going to say yes.
Yes, you're in a band. Now you're a teacher. You've got kids. You've got, you know, everything going on. But you still find yourself down there. Every time I'm down there, you seem to be down there. And I'm not down there very often. Maybe we just happen to be down there in the same rare moments.
Yeah, lately that's how it's been.
Yeah.
But summer is always busy with the band. So It's the busy season. I do make myself available as often as I can. It's still fun, you know.
It's still fun. So yeah, 20, 30 years in, tell me how you've changed as a performer and how comedy sports has changed.
I think in a way, comedy sports, you know, we always say it's, what is our catchphrase now? I want to get it right, but it's like comedy for the people.
Sure, it sounds good.
I think that's what it says now. But, you know, it really has become, I think, more, it's a broader group of people that are in there. I felt like at first it was largely theater and stand-up people, and people who had kind of, you know, aspirations in one of those two things found like this common ground early on. So you'd get a lot of people who were very theatery. So you get a lot of theater type people, and you get a lot of people who are, you know, really more stand-up kind of people, you know, but it wasn't like stand-up wasn't really a fit, you know, it didn't be good at improv. It's definitely a different set of muscles than it is to be good at stand-up. But you get a lot of people who kind of, you know, have that personality, that stand-up personality. And you get a lot of people who have that theater personality. And that's kind of how it was, in my estimation, at the beginning. And then there were, like, some people who were just, like, they were just always there. Mm-hmm. Like, that old guard from the late 80s. You know, to me, it's where I go to when I think of comedy sports. I still think of all those people that I grew up being the stupid fan kid around. But you know, that's what I saw as it started. It was people who created comedy sports and were kind of, you know, they may not have created all the games or anything, but they created the sense of what comedy sports was.
Yeah.
And so it was just a natural thing for them. And then everybody just kind of comes in and they kind of bring in their own things, and it gets broader and broader. And now when I like go to tournament and stuff like that, and I see how broad it actually is, it's so much wider. It covers so much more terrain in terms of humor. Whereas before I felt like it was, I don't want to say limited, but it was just like, it was a very known quantity. And now I think when I see a show, especially if I see it in another city, it is a brand new thing. Like, I don't know, and I've done comedy sports for a long time, I don't know what that show is going to look like.
Yeah.
Even when I go down to Chicago.
Right.
And last time I saw a Chicago show, I'm like, I'm sitting there in my seat, I'm watching the show, and I'm going like, what are they doing? So this is comedy sports to them.
Right. It's different in each city.
And it's very different.
Yeah.
And it has its, you know, every city kind of has its own imprint, which is, I think, great. And in the early days, I felt like, you know, even at tournament time, you could see a very similar approach to comedy sports. So now every city, because it's broadened out so much and there's so much more influence, there's so much more melting going on in that pot.
Sure.
That, It kind of, everybody has like this very different flavor going on.
So now you've kind of, I mean, I would say our age is more now the veteran players, newer people coming in, see you, someone who's been doing this since.
And I apologize to all those who have seen
Stop yourself. But what is a piece of advice you'd give a new performer at comedy sports? What's something you'd tell somebody? Hey, do this or think about that.
No, that's a good question. What I tend to say, first of all, is just whatever is stopping you, get rid of it. Whatever that hindrance is, because we all, especially when we first start, and if you start doing workshops, you kind of have to get through that.
Yeah.
But then it happens when the first time you play with somebody who you know you've watched and you've developed your love for comedy sports watching that person. The first time you're on stage with that person, you go back to being you put up all those walls again,
sure,
because you're worried usually, maybe there's people who aren't like this, but I'm like this, and I know I talk to a lot of people who are like this. You get to that point where it's just, I just want them to know I'm good, or I want them to know I'm funny, or I just want them to like me, or right. I just want them to take one of my ideas
yeah.
and run with it. I want to set them up, or I want to, you know, close a joke that they set up or something like that. You get to this point where you're thinking about those things instead of just releasing and yeah. responding and reacting and doing the things that you've gotten good at doing.
Sure.
So when I see, you know, people and they kind of, they freeze up a little bit mm-hmm. on stage or something like that. And I know it's because they're in that moment.
Yeah.
They're stuck. They know what they want to do and yeah. it's rubbing against what they should do. And so it's creating that friction. And so they get like this hinky jinky kind of
the old hinky jinky.
I'm just going to make words
I
today,
love it.
And it's actually going to work out much better for me. But they get into that kind of point where it's rubbing against what they should be doing.
Yeah.
And so it's reminding them, do you know what you should be doing?
Yeah.
It doesn't matter who you're up there doing it with. And you're going to get shows where you get in your head a little bit. So just when you do, start practicing, you know, realizing it, this metacognition, as it were, that, yeah. you know, I'm in this moment, I got to break out. I got to go back to doing what I should be doing, which is just seizing on that moment, responding, reacting, yes-anding everybody that right. I can in every possible way. And yeah. it doesn't matter if I really want to direct this or I want this sort of thing to happen or my parents are in the audience and they still don't understand
what this really is.
Right. And this is going to be the show where they understand yeah. what this means to me. You can't let those things drive you at yeah. all during the show. You have to go back to just freeing all of that and...
That's really great advice. Yeah, be in the moment. What do you struggle with still after all these years? Is there something you wish you're still, you know, you could do or you're still working on?
Yeah, a punchline.
Punchline?
Just give me a goddamn punchline for once. Like 185, I should have them by now.
Oh my God, don't even get me going on those pun games. They're the worst.
Yeah, I just, I will always feel like verbal humor is my weak spot. I feel good about responding. I feel good about supporting. I always go in with the approach that I'm not really going to be the funny one. And I'm okay with that. I'm okay being the guy that's like, oh, yeah, he's always here. And no, that's all I remember about him.
But you know what that mindset is? That's a great supportive team player. I always think of Paul Stasiak is always like the supporting role.
Yeah.
He's never like the star in the scene. He's always coming in and out of the scene, supporting, building up the funny for other people. That takes, I think, a huge amount of skill and knowledge about improv to be able to do that.
Yeah.
And in turn, you are helping the show and you're funny, Mark.
I'm not trying to search for a compliment. Yeah, I can't take it anyways.
I know you're terrible.
So I don't want the compliment, but, yeah, Paulie's a great example. And my mom would tell you for years and years and years, she was telling me, you know, I love Paul Stasiak.
He is
the funniest one. He is the funniest one. So it's not like you always have your fans anyways.
Yeah.
So I know that. But I don't go in with that mindset. You know, it's like I'm not going to be the one who's providing that line that everybody remembers. I'm not going to close a show with
right.
a 185. It's just not my role. I don't need to be that person. I want to set up as many people as I can.
Yeah.
I want everybody else to have that line, to have that moment. And if I'm the one giving it to them, that's great. That's perfect.
I think it's great. You have found your way from being the little boy stalker to a veteran player.
So now I have a new nickname.
Mark the little boy stalker.
It's not going to fit on the license plate.
No, you've really found your...
But maybe Luntal Boy Stalker will fit on the license plate.
I think you are an you're an important part of every comedy
sports. Make up your own word. That's what I'm doing.
I'm going to have you pick two of these sheets of paper here, Mark.
Oh.
These are all different games at Comedy Sports.
They all look so pretty.
I know.
Which one do I have to take?
Pick two of them. Any
one
two.
One that I can't see the writing through
the back
backside.
Of the paper. And I want you to tell us what those two games are, and then tell me which one you'd rather play in a show.
Beastie Rap and Six Things.
Hmm.
That's a tough choice because I love both of those games. I would probably rather do Six Things.
Yeah, tell us about it. Why?
Beastie Rap, for me, with few exceptions, I feel like I could riff endlessly in Beastie Rap on a name. That's not true in practice, but I feel that way about the game.
Yeah.
And I just, you know... I love the energy of that game. I love the delivery. I love how the audience responds to it. If you say you're going to play Beastie Rap, there's people in the audience who recognize that game.
Sure.
And can't stop themselves from going, yeah!
Yes, or totally!
they can't. It just comes out of them. So they have that love for that game. So I really like it. But Six Things to me is just, it's the more creative game,
yeah,
consistently.
For sure.
You don't know what you're going to get. You're going to get one or two suggestions every time you play it that you've never had to do.
Yeah.
And at least if you got a, you know, a normal crowd, if you've got a very small crowd and it's like pulling teeth for suggestions, maybe
right.
You won't. But otherwise, that's the one to me that gives me that new moment every time. You know, BC Rap, you can play. You might not get that new moment every time you play it. And there'll be something. It's not going to say that it's not going to be fun. It's going to be fun. But Six Things gives you a new moment, I think, every time you play it.
The good, it's a great guessing.
And to me, that's what I love about that game.
So with Beastie Rap, if the name is Mark, give it to me.
Yeah.
Do it.
I'd get some inspiration if I only had a spark. Yeah, I could rhyme all day in the light or the dark. I got to know where my car did park. That one sucked.
I think it's great.
So,
you do bring an energy to the show.
I wish I had a voice.
You're doing great. Right, last game here, Mark. This is Would You Rather.
Oh, Nikes.
It's super fun. I got new cards even. We've used up all the other ones.
Okay.
You get to pick pain, fear, and discomfort, appearance and embarrassment, food, ingestion, ethics, intellect, or just a random question.
Would I rather have one of those categories?
You pick a category.
We'll go with fear and pain.
Fear and pain.
Yeah.
Would you rather snow ski out of control into a tree at 30 miles per hour or fall off the ski lift at 100 feet high?
I'd rather fall off the ski lift.
Yeah.
Because the landing may be softer.
It might be a pile of snow.
There might be a nice pile of snow there. Slamming into a tree. And I've never skied. So just the thought of me on skis is pain.
Well, slamming into anything at 30 miles an hour without like a car around you to slightly protect you doesn't sound good.
No, that sounds like definitely I am hurting or dead.
Oh, no.
Falling off the ski lift at 100 feet, yeah, that's going to be scary as hell. But, you know, maybe snow is just enough padding. Maybe my snowsuit is... Maybe my skis break before my body breaks.
That's the hope.
Breaks my fall.
Mark, thank you so much for taking time out of your busy schedule.
I hope you have a good editor who can take out all the dumb bits.
There are no dumb bits, and Kyle is the best editor.
Thank you, Kyle.
Thank you, Kyle. Mark, thank you so much. We can't wait to see you in another show. Let's schedule when you and I can be there together at the same time.
All right.
And rock that place.
We'll text, and then we'll say, let's call in this week and say we're only available to do this show, and Christine and Mark have to be on the same team because we're never on the same team.
Never. Every time I'm down there, we're on the opposite teams. You're right.
Because
they know it's just too much funny.
Yeah, and we talk too much in the dugout.
We do. That's true.
Gotta work on that.
All right. Well, thanks for coming down, Mark. I appreciate it.
All right. Thank you.
All right. Take care.
Thank you.
The Comedy Sports Podcast is produced and engineered by Kyle Hannikin. Our announcer is PJ Rockwell. Check us out on Facebook and follow us on Instagram. Comments and questions can be sent to thecomedysportspodcast@gmail.com. created and hosted by me, Christine Rolo Capriolo. Check you later.
The Comedy Sports Podcast is an independent production made by CSC Players. The views and opinions expressed by the podcast host and any guests are their own and do not represent the views and opinions of any CSE location or CSE worldwide. Vocabulary used by the host and guests is not necessarily representative of the CSE brand.